I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money.
Well, we were just sitting
dollar,
there talking.
Dollar bill,
y'all. That's pretty funny.
Very funny.
Spending other people's money, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. What do you value? You're going into the summer.
Yeah.
And what were you, like, valuing? Where did you want to spend your money?
Yeah. I want to spend my money on, golf. Outside of the essentials,
okay.
Right?
But that
I
was your priority.
I wanted to spend my disposable money on golf. There was a golf trip that I wanted to take. I took it.
Where?
To Truckee,
okay.
Reno.
All right.
And I had a budget, and I, of course, is she listening? Went over budget.
Use hand signals.
I went up, up, up.
You're going all the way up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's what I wanted to spend my money on, and I did.
And let's say, how many rounds did you play? Three?
Four.
Four. Four?
Played great until the tournament started,
yeah.
And then I schmit the bed.
Well, you overdid it. But anyway.
Grant's not even listening.
I know what a good round of golf costs.
Yep.
So let's say that you're like four rounds, and I want this to average, I don't know, a couple $100 a round.
Yep. It's about
a couple $100 around.
Sure.
So $800 for the four rounds. And what if all of the courses at one time, especially you had called the courses and you're like 200 something. Yeah, they're like, that's about right.
It's about 195.
Yeah,
but yeah,
we'll call you back and figure this whole thing out. You're like, all right. And then before you could call them back, like one of the four courses is like, nope. We're doing 350.
Wait a minute.
And then the other three courses, you call them, and they're like, sorry, boss.
Market's changed.
I don't know if you heard what happened to the market, but it's going all the way up. And so now it's 350 per round. So now your 800 needs to be 1500. Now, Dibs, you still want to play golf.
Badly.
That is your priority. You need to play golf.
Dying to.
You have to have your summer, and you've put your disposable income aside. I don't know. Do you? And I'm like, we're just having fun here. This is a stupid analogy.
No, it's actually appropriate because golf has gotten crazy expensive.
It has. But are you just like, okay, here's my $1,500. Or what would you do?
Probably only play three rounds.
You'd adjust.
Yes, I would make the adjustment. And you know, if my budget was for 800, and that's actually a pretty decent number because we play Old Greenwood the week before the PGA Tour is there, and Gray's Crossing is the sister course, and they're both darn near $200 a pop.
I was gonna say, my mind's going herm right now. These courses are cheap now.
Those are expensive.
I know they are.
We played at Lake Ridge in Reno, and then we also played at that other one up there in Sparks, Red Hawk. You play Red Hawk now. They got two courses up there now. And those are a clean hundo.
Yep.
So, you know, the budget was about $6, and if they came to me and said, that's going to be $1,100, dog, well, I would adjust. You're right. And that's where, you know, Brandon Ayuk, in this analogy, is Truckee and Reno Golf.
Well,
Kyle Shanahan and stuff is me trying to just pay a green fee.
I guess the point that I'm getting at of all the opinions that get thrown out and of all the people we talk to and listen to and all of that, in all Brandon Ayuk related conversations, the one opinion I hear that makes me go, okay, I like, with all love, I don't really want to discuss this with you anymore, is the people who are like, just pay him, he's good,
you have the money
and you've paid everybody else, so pay him.
if I had Jed York's money, I wouldn't worry about $1,200 for tee times instead of $600.
Yes. Well, that's accurate, but would you worry about $50 million in an escrow account tomorrow?
Yeah, maybe.
Would you? I mean, I don't know.
I have to call mommy and daddy.
I just think that this is constantly intricate. That's all. I just think it's constantly intricate. Every single one of these is its own animal, if you will. Every negotiation. And you like, timing factors into it. Their position factors into it. What they're asking for factors into it. The market factors into it. So when we compare this to anything else, I don't know. For me, that idea left town a long time ago. As soon as you started bringing other teams into this and trades and being public about it, this is officially unlike any of the other negotiations.
True. True.
So I don't even know why we're comparing them anymore.
We shouldn't. And, you know, you go back to April when before the draft, he was shopped, or they at least took calls, and they might have made calls about Brandon Ayuk. So this has been very different since the initial moment. And you mentioned this before about his exit interview where he was already, you know, going on social media and talking about, you know, what's next and where's mine and all the rest of it.
He went straight to guns.
Exactly.
Like, everybody needs to know that. Brandon Ayuk wasted no time going straight to weaponry on this.
Right.
Like, and so
there was no cooling off period. Nope. There was no, let's just get into the summer and let me take a vacation and then we'll revisit this. He went straight to, you know, where's
poop emojis.
Right. Yeah, where's the bag?
I mean, I don't know. Like, this stuff, if you really follow the tea leaves all along, you know? I mean, when people go, gosh, if the Niners had just taken care of this back in April, then this would have been a lot cheaper and it would have been fine. I think the Niners were probably put on their heels and pretty ticked off already by April.
Probably, but had they seen what was coming, had they been more prescient,
fair,
they could have seen that the market was going to go, as you like to say, all the way up. And if the market's going all the way up, you want to get in there first. And I think it was Devontae Smith with the Eagles who signed, and he was like, I don't really care about the market.
Yeah, well, he signed early, and then people came. This is because, by the way, this is what we would do. The Niners are dumb for not doing it early. If we had done it early, we'd go to Brandon. You were dumb for doing it early.
Right, and like, Devontae Smith was like, cool, call me dumb. Yeah, I got like 40-something guaranteed. Yeah,
mil a year.
I got like 50, you know, guaranteed at signing. So, yeah, call me whatever name you want to call me. I just wanted this done, and it's done.
Yep.
And Brandon, obviously, they probably thought that Brandon would have been a little bit more squeamish about it, and it felt like he was for a while, but then Brandon Ayuk has been a little bit more cunning, a little bit more clever with his pushback, and he's gotten him into a spot where the Niners are out there running around doing things that they don't want to do.
This is fun. We haven't done this yet. I want to hear somebody give a completely different perspective on Kyle Shanahan blowing the Super Bowl, quote unquote, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons.
They were up 28-3, Mark.
28-3.
All he has to do is run the football. Just run the damn ball.
Well, the beauty of this is not just that this is somebody who has a very, very heavy voice in the NFL. He also happens to be the person who benefited the most from the fact that Kyle Shanahan's team didn't end up winning the game.
You got Gronk sound over there?
No, I got Tom Brady.
Oh.
This is also Stephen A. Smith. So remember the first comment, and we'll just summarize it, where Brady is like, Super Bowl hangover is not really a thing. It's just really hard to get back because you get knocked back down to the bottom of the mountain. But if there's any team that I feel like still has a good shot at it, it's Niners. They've got an unbelievable program. And then he goes step by step. They've got great ownership. They've got great coach. They've got a great GM. They've got a great quarterback. They've got a great defense. They've got a good defensive coordinator. Like, they got all of this stuff. Stephen A. Smith interrupts with a point about Kyle Shanahan, and listen to where it goes.
I'm a huge Kyle Shanahan fan. I think he's an exceptional coach, an exceptional offensive mind. But I've never gotten over the fact that he was the offensive coordinator that lost a 25-point lead against your Patriots.
Well,
I'm like, run the football, keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands, And the clock will work for you. That's just my thinking.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Let me say that. But at the same time, the argument for that is Matt Ryan had a 158.3 quarterback rating to that point. He was playing as well. He won the MVP of that season. They had Julio Jones out there. And had it not, let's say he handed the ball off a couple times and it didn't go well, they'd be saying, why didn't you put the ball in the hands of the MVP and throw it to your you know, first ballot Hall of Fame receiver? Right. So the reality is he had the league MVP. He had one of the great receivers of the generation in Julio Jones. That offense was prolific that season. Put it in their hands. If you're going to go down in the Super Bowl, you want to go down with your best guys. And he was trying, not that he was trying to go down, but he was trying to put it in their hands.
Fair or foul?
Super fair. Super fair. And I'm looking at the game log right now, and this is something that we all need to remember. And I'm going to say this once, and I'm going to try to remember it forever. He did not blow a 28-3 lead. When they got the ball back, it was already 28-9. So you can't put that on him that it was 28-3 because they scored. His offense, offensive coordinator, they scored to go up 28-3. Well, then by the time they got the ball back, it was 28-9.
Okay.
They got the ball back and they ran the football. They passed it, second and one. They give it to Tevin Coleman. Shout out the Niners. Tevin Coleman of the Falcons. He runs it, loses a yard holding on the Falcons.
Wow.
Second and 11, they pass it. Then Ryan gets sacked and they punt it. New England goes down at the end of the third quarter and they kick a field goal, 28-12.
28-12, all right.
And then the next time Atlanta gets the ball back, Matt Ryan sacks. He gets sacked and he fumbles. And that was on third and one. So if you want to criticize him for that play, because they ran it.
What'd they do on the first two plays?
They ran it for eight. They ran it for one. It was third and one. Third and one and with 8:31 to go in the game, and you're up 28-12.
And they didn't run it again?
They tried to throw it.
Okay.
Matt Ryan was sacked. Matt Ryan fumbled at his own 25, and that's when the game flipped. New England scores again, makes it 28-20, and then the rest, as we know, is history.
Well, and what I have this vague memory of even when it's 28-20, the Falcons drive down, maybe if you've got the game log.
I do.
Falcons drive down, they're in field goal range, and on a third down, rather than sort of like taking that field goal, run the ball, if you get stuffed, kick the field goal, go up 11, they dropped back, Ryan gets sacked, knocks him out of field goal range, and they punt, and it stays a one-score game, and the Patriots go down and tie it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it's somewhat accurate.
That's what my memory bank
says.
They
get the ball back with 6 minutes to go. They're up eight. And they throw it. Matt Ryan throws it to Devontae Freeman for 39 yards.
Oh.
And then they get to midfield. Then they run it. Then they pass it to Julio Jones for 27 yards. So all this they should run it nonsense.
They're hot knife through butter right now.
Yeah, you can't stop Matt Ryan. Yeah. So they get down to the 22. They run it. They lose one. Then Matt Ryan is sacked on second and 11. They lose 12 yards. Timeout New England. Third and 23. They try to run it again. There's holding. Now it's third and 33. Geez. Third and 33 at the New England 45. And they try to throw it, it's incomplete, then they punt.
Then they punt.
So they did get down to the 22-yard line with 4:40 to go. All you have to do there is not throw up on yourself, kick a field goal, and it's a two-score game, but they didn't.
Yep.
And then Tommy goes 10 plays, 91 yards in 2.5 minutes to tie it.
And Julian Edelman is catching balls off of his ankles and just like everything is going their way. That's the one thing I've always wondered. How come nobody knows the name of the defensive coordinator for the Falcons?
Right.
That's the person who couldn't stop the Patriots in the second half.
Yep.
I don't even know who it was. Who was it?
Well, Dan Quinn was the head coach,
and
right?
He's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
So you put it on him if you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. It's just.
I think it was Steve Wilks. I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I hope it wasn't.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Yeah, I need to get a little deeper, but it just. I actually think about that quote a lot, and when stuff happens.
What do you think about it?
I think when stuff happens and I want to react a certain way and I don't, I think to myself, I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Sort of built for this.
Like if I'm stuck in traffic or today when some jagoff cuts me off in his truck and I don't honk my horn and I don't, well, I did follow him, but I didn't get out of the vehicle. I think to myself, I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Dude, I did something I almost never do.
What?
I sat on the horn today on somebody.
What?
I mean,
you don't do that.
And while I was on the phone, I'm like talking to someone and forget the cop. I'm like, ah! Dude, I took the ferry to work today and I made it by 32 seconds. And somebody was at one, who cares, right? But like someone's at a stop sign and just decided, I'm good here. We're good. I don't need to go. It doesn't matter that there's nobody coming. I'd like to just stay right here. And I lost it.
You laid into him.
Yep. I did. I didn't do what you do. I didn't get out and try to fight somebody.
Wow.
I didn't get out of the car. I didn't wait. I did not flip anyone off. Sometimes I just give the palms up.
Iguodala.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
You in Iguodala.
Yeah. What are you doing? Happens a lot when we're driving.
I'm being told Raheem Morris was the defensive coordinator.
Okay. Is he built for this?
He's assistant head coach. He technically didn't have a DC because Dan Quinn.
Because he is the DC. Guy. All right. Yeah. It'd be like Kyle Shanahan having an offensive coordinator. Right. Like Kyle Shanahan's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And okay. Thank you to DLou22 on the YouTube for offering that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Go ahead.
That just always, it's one of those things that bugs me about the Kyle Shanahan criticism, him blowing a 28-3 lead. First of all, he was the coordinator. Second of all, it was 28-9 when they got the ball back. And just watch the game, folks. I feel like Jeff Kent here. Enjoy the game. They threw it and they got down to the 23-yard line with a chance to kick a field goal and ice the game.
Historically.
Crazy stuff happened.
Historically, the person in sports that is consistently told, you're phenomenal at what you do, but you blow it in the end. Historically, I don't want to tell any of you what to think, but historically, those who have said that end up being embarrassingly wrong. Embarrassingly wrong. And I can give you tons of examples in tons of sports, okay? Phil Mickelson couldn't win the big one. And then Phil Mickelson won a bunch of big ones. Barry Bonds was a playoff choker. Then became the greatest thing that anyone has ever seen ever, apparently.
Not in the playoffs. He had one good playoff run.
Actually, he had a playoff run.
In 2002,
he was absolutely unstoppable. And other things stopped the Giants that year in the very end in the World Series. Peyton Manning was somebody who was just constantly phenomenal, but then was terrible in the playoffs. Andy Reid, constantly get there, but you never get over the top. And then you get Patrick Mahomes, and now you're the greatest coach of all time, and you have your big, jolly, Santa Claus-looking guy, and we all love you. My chip is going to be put in the circle that says that's where Kyle's going. Kyle is phenomenal.
You think that Kyle Shanahan will be the head coach of a team that wins the Super Bowl?
Like, I would bet all of it. All of it. All of it. How old's Kyle? Is he, what was he, 40-something?
Yeah.
Like, I will bet all of it.
44.
My God, of course he's going to win a Super Bowl.
You realize his father didn't win one until he was 45.
And where's his father now?
Chilling.
Oh.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Should be.
Well.
But my point is he's sitting back with a pretty great career, right?
170 wins, 138 losses. Does Kyle win more football games than his father?
Where's he at now?
Kyle has probably 70 wins. I'll look it up.
And what'd you say his dad has?
170.
He's getting on about halfway there.
Yeah, Kyle's got 64 wins, according to Pro Football Reference.
Regular season plus 8 in the postseason.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Probably. Yeah, he'll probably get there. That's a lot.
Yeah. Just another 100 and, it's 12 years of 9 wins a year.
They'd probably get there then. Yeah, he's probably coaching for 20 more, I would gather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, his dad stopped at 61.
Yeah, I don't see a day anytime soon where the NFL does not want Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. I don't see that anytime soon. I just think he's fantastic. And what happens in that conversation over and over again is that people go, yeah, but what about the, and then fill in your blank about this one thing that happened over here and something that happened over there. History says the person or the player that gets to the end all the time and has a truckload of near misses, history suggests that that person will not only get over the top, but that at the end of your career, you will look back on that person as one of the greats of all time. That's what history says.
Not always, but more often than not.
For a long time, LeBron James was this person. Oh, LeBron, sure, you can win the Eastern Conference, but can you win the Biggie? Like, I can't think of who's the person that was like in the Final Four or the Final Two all the time and then just never. And then that was it, and they went home. I guess what, Jim Kelly?
There are five coaches who have coached in multiple Super Bowls and do not have a Super Bowl win.
Marv Levy.
Correct, he's 0-4.
How many more did you say?
There are four more.
Four more who have coached in
multiple Super Bowls with zero victories.
Okay, and Kyle Shanahan is one
Correct.
Of them.
Correct, there are three others.
So Levy, Kyle Shanahan, they've coached in multiple Super
Two
Bowls.
Two of them are 0-4. And these are old school guys. And then one of them you probably won't get. He is 0-2.
Mm.
Scat-da-da-da. Scat-da-da-da.
Coached in multiple Super Bowls, but
Shanahan's 0-2. Marv Levy's 0-4. You've got an 0-4, an 0-4, and an 0-2.
I'm probably just going to tap out of this pretty quick because nobody.
Yeah, one of the 0-4s lost Super Bowl 4, 8, 9, and 11.
They're going to go back that far.
Bud Grant of the Vikings.
I never would have gotten that.
The other coach lost Super Bowls 21, 22, 24, and 33.
Oh, wow. Lost four of them?
Dan Reeves.
Oh, Dan Reeves.
Okay, as I do Dan my Steiny. John Sally. And the other one.
Yeah, who's the last one?
John Fox.
Oh.
Super Bowls 38
Panthers.
And 48.
Panthers,
and,
yeah, okay.
John Fox.
Yeah.
It started out as a complete embarrassment, but it's turned into one of my favorite bits from Steiny, because every time he says a name now, he'll say it twice.
It's still a complete embarrassment and still very funny.
It's so funny.
Yeah, but I would argue, and because some of those are good examples.
John Sally.
Thank you.
You know, the John Fox one. I'm talking about people who have an extended period of time of like dancing in that final arena.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan's not John Fox. Kyle Shanahan, for 6 years running with a healthy quarterback, is in the Final Four every year. History says Kyle will not only win, history says when Kyle's done, he'll put on a jacket.
A gold one?
That's what history says. Yes. Huh?
And history, not a lot of coaches make it in the Hall of Fame.
I know, but history says that person is not looked at as a choker in the end. History says that person is looked at as a phenomenal performer who just keeps coming. Keep getting to the end. Even when it's maddening how close you come and you can't get over the top, there's always a golfer who has that label.
Yeah.
Best to not win a major.
Ricky Fowler. It was Sergio Garcia forever.
For a long time. Yeah. So
Bud Grant and Marv Levy, both Hall of Famers. The only two of the five I mentioned on that list to be gold jacketed. Gold jacket. Thank you.
Sponsored by John Sally.
Thank you. I can't stop.
Sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Auto Parts. 888-957-9570 is the number. Oh, we didn't give you the little Giants note. I promise. Like, how is a player who's not on the team starting for the Giants tonight? We'll give you that update coming up next. We'll keep taking your phone calls. Oh, and you need to hear the latest people who have gathered in the, hey, if I say Niners out loud, everybody comes to my social media feed. We got that for you next as well on Willard and Dibs.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
Well, I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
I tried to get Mama Bosa on today.
Okay.
She's traveling.
I mean,
she's traveling.
No, come on.
Yeah. She's probably going to Vegas.
Exactly.
Is
Nick going to play tonight?
The word is most of the starters.
Okay.
Here, put that on hold for 1 sec, because we got to pay off this Giants thing.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Who's catching tonight? Andrew Knapp? Andrew Knapp with a K.
Middle name Taker. It's a one, but I don't care. It's Friday.
Friday at 4:30, that makes me laugh. If you had done that at Tuesday at 3, I'll punch you in the face.
Exactly. You're a good audience on a Friday. Oh, I'm angry, Jeff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway.
Anyhow.
Andrew, take a nap. Actually, yeah, it's a pretty good series to have somebody in the lineup with the last name Knapp. That's perfect. The Giants and Mariners are playing, and it sound an alarm the first time someone gets a hit, because it's probably not going to happen until at least the sixth inning. So the Giants are like, you know, we need someone with the last name Knapp. So he's a catcher who was on the Giants a couple years ago for a hot minute, and earlier today, Bags got a hold of the lineup, and he's like, well, Andrew Knapp is catching, and he literally wrote, so there's that.
Who are you?
We're all like, okay, Bags, we totally believe you, but there's one problem. Andrew Knapp is not on the Giants.
Yeah, that sounds like a problem.
If you go to the internet, Andrew's on the Rangers. But Andrew Knapp was in the Giants lineup. So how? So, Grandy, what? Now, the roster thing came out about an hour and a half later that the Giants have DFA'd Jackson Reitz. How'd they acquire Knapp? Was he a free agent?
Yeah, so the last transaction for Knapp that we had when the lineup came out was that the AAA affiliate, I believe, of the Rangers had released him. Okay. So he was just a free agent.
So he was released from AAA, and the Giants are like, that looks like one of our guys. Let's start him tonight. Yeah. Once again, Joey Bart is a Pirate. Just want to put that out there. Joey Bart is a Pirate. And Tom, it's been so long since he's played, I can't even remember his last name.
Murphy. Yeah.
Is having all kinds of injury problems and unavailable. And Casale's probably just exhausted by now. It's like, I'm out here catching for you guys every night. Bailey's on the injured list. Jackson Reitz is not a major leaguer. Neither's Andrew Knapp, but whatever. So Andrew Knapp, cheers.
Here's to you.
Is playing for the Giants tonight.
Right. Go out there and get it done. And you're going up against a team that has a team batting average of .216. I'm not making that up, Mark.
No,
I'm looking at the history of batting averages.
Yeah.
And in the modern era of baseball, there are a grand total of two teams who have ever finished a season with a worse batting average. In 2020, the COVID Cincinnati Reds batted .212 over 60 games. Take that with a grain of salt. It was a short season. It was COVID. And then in 1968, the Yankees hit .214. Other than that, the A's 2 years ago hit .216. The Mariners are hitting .216. this is one of the worst hitting teams by average in the history of baseball.
We don't want to spend too much time on this, but Grandy put together the most amazing package of Mariner stuff.
It was great.
That you ever, and we really should mention some of it because it's literally stunning. We're not talking about a team that's struggling. We're talking about a team that once upon a time this year had a 10-game lead in their division. And the moment they got it, they looked at each other and went, I got an idea. Let's see if we can hold it without ever getting another hit ever again. And the answer's no. Listen to some of this. Since 1969, there have been 1,446 baseball teams that have played at least 153 games. Almost 1,500 teams have finished a 153-game schedule. The 2024 Mariners currently rank dead last in both batting average and strikeout percentage. Wow. Of all of those teams.
That sounds bad.
Assuming that they play 15 more games. Okay? The Mariners have the second worst record in baseball since their 10-game lead on June 18th. 10-game lead! And then uncork the second worst record in baseball, which is actually the worst record in baseball because the White Sox don't count.
They were 44 and 31 when they were up by 10. They had just beaten Cleveland on the road on June 18th. 44 and 31, they've gone 20 and 35.
This one's so fun. I love this next one. Y'all heard of Logan Gilbert? He's a starter for the Mariners. He's got a mean set of breaking pitches, Dibs.
I've heard that.
Logan Gilbert's record this year is 7-9.
It's now 7-10, by the way. It's an old stat.
7-10. That's more losses than wins, despite a whip and nay-nay of 0.88. For those of you who don't speak baseball stats, that's stupid good. Okay? Walks plus hits over innings pitched, well less than one. 0.88. Ready? The last qualifying baseball pitcher to have a losing record and a sub 0.9 whip was Ed Walsh. You remember Ed?
Oh, Ed. Easy Boy. Ed. Easy Eddie, we called him.
He played for the White Sox in 1910.
Oh, geez.
It's been 114 years since somebody was able to achieve a losing record while pitching that well. The Mariners currently have a 194 batting average in the month of August. The franchise record for lowest batting average in a calendar month came in May 2021 of 199. 5 points higher than they currently are in the month of August with just a few days left to go. And then here's the one that really will make you boogie, Giants fans. Raise your hand if you feel like the Giants sometimes send out starters who pitch really well and don't get run support and you don't win the game. You feel like that happens to the Giants
all
a lot?
All the time, yeah.
Okay, it happens to the Mariners exactly twice as often. Okay? In 2024... the number of quality starts, that equals six innings at least and three runs or less allowed. That's a quality start.
Yep.
Anything that or better is a quality start. How many times has a starter gotten a quality start and not gotten the win? This should be called the Blake Snell Award. Mm. The Giants have had that happen 20 times. The Mariners have had it happen 40 times.
Wow.
Second place is 28.
That's crazy.
The Mariners have had it happen 40 times. Now, add into all of that a couple other things, which is A, the Giants don't hit the baseball, and B, the Mariners recently fired their manager on social media, and you have got what I think is the most wackadoodle, annoying, backwards baseball series that we have seen all year long. Andrew, take a nap, is the starting catcher for it. and it's an elimination series.
Let's go.
You don't win two or three, I don't want to even hear your name ever again.
Well, even if you win two of three, it's probably not good enough.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're the Mariners, you are, like, the fade that they've gone on has been so bad that your season's probably already over, because the lead that you've blown has put you 5.5 out in the division, but you're 7.5 out in the card. So unless you can catch Houston, which I don't like your chances, you're not going to win the wild card. So for the Mariners, it is real nut-cutting time with 34 games to go, but you got to focus on Houston. And just in the last 10 games, you've dropped 5 games to Houston. So the lead that you've blown has been so dramatic that I think that it's over for the Mariners. And this is really, you're getting into must-win time for the Mariners.
You know what, though? Let's have some fun. Mariners and Giants, FanGraphs, current playoff odds.
Oh, yeah.
I will give you a plus or minus 2% in either direction.
For both?
For both.
Okay.
Can you nail both the playoff odds for the San Francisco Giants and the Seattle Mariners? Let's start with the home team, the Seattle Mariners.
There it
their
is.
Their playoff odds, plus or minus 2% in either direction.
The Mariners.
What do you believe it is? They are 64-64, as you said, 5.5 games out in the American League West.
Well, and the card is not something that's really possible. They're 7.5 out of the wild card, 5.5 back at Houston. I would put them at 11%. They have an 11% chance.
I'm very, very impressed. 10.8%.
Let's go, Dibber Claus.
10.8%. That is a very, very impressive guess.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank you for coming to our game, and because you're so good at it, let's play it again.
Oh,
the San
boy.
Francisco Giants are 65-64, just a plucky 11.5 games behind the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But four out in a wild card race that also includes another team that is tucked in between them and the Braves. That would be the New York Metropolitans. Their playoff odds are...
Well, the math is there, as I've said all along, for the Giants. 4.5 out four out in the wild card. Not bad. The division, that race has been run, but still another team to pass. I'm going to put them at 13%, Mark.
13%. Okay. So sorry. Really wish we could reward you for getting one out of two. That is 50%. That's an F. Somehow the San Francisco Giants only have half the playoff odds of the Seattle Mariners.
What?
5.7%.
Jeez. That, I mean, the math. That, sorry about that.
Five.
I gave you too much faith. I figured being only behind one team to get to the wild card, and you're only four back.
Well, the issue is I think
schedule.
FanGraphs sees this as the Mariners having a shot at two different playoff spots, and the Giants only have a shot at one.
But the Mariners don't have a shot at the wild
card.
Well,
now that's your opinion. FanGraphs disagrees.
Sure, FanGraphs can.
2.5% chance at the wild card, but an 8.3% chance at winning the division. While the San Francisco Giants have a 5.7% chance of clinching the wild card and
a 0.1%.
0.0.
0.0. Yeah, fair
chance
enough
of winning the division.
Well, and honestly, the Mariners are 7.5 back in the card, and they're also behind two teams. So
they can get hot now.
Sure, they were hot. They had their hot moment. And I think FanGraphs is looking at their plus 14 run differential as opposed to the Giants minus 11 as a reason why
probably
they would lean on that. Your quality start thing had me thinking about Logan Gilbert because, and I just looked at his game log, he's had a very interesting year. He's had 11 quality starts that did not result in a win.
Jeez.
But he also, his most recent outing, he went 4 2/3 and he gave up 6 earned. And he had an outing earlier where he went 2 2/3 and he gave up 7. He had an outing where he went 4 and he gave up 8. He's got 3 disastrous outings on his resume this year. So I don't know if he's going in this series, but
he is not.
It's too bad because he's vulnerable.
He is not slated to
go.
Coming
off a stinker.
The Giants will face Castillo, Kirby, and Wu.
Okay.
Can I get a Wu?
Totally.
You can.
Yep.
On Sunday, he'll pitch for the Mariners, while the Giants will throw Hayden Birdsong, Blake Snell, and Robbie Ray against his old squad.
Yeah. Okay. Is Haniger still up there with them?
Yeah, he's around. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going swinging bad now.
You can't stop it. You really can't.
Sunday's projected starter, Brian Wu, by the way, native of El Cerrito.
Hey! How about that?
Evan Giddings country. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's Giddings country. Yeah,
yeah. He's got like a 2.2 ERA this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Wait till he faces the Giants.
Gonna go down.
Is he Evan's age or is he younger than Evan? Do we know?
I think he's a little younger. He's like a rookie this year. I think he made his debut last year.
All right. Let's have some fun. How many runs the Giants gonna score this weekend?
In the three games?
Yeah.
Nine.
Ooh. I think I'll take the under.
How sad is that? Well, the Giants they're a three-run machine. They tend to score three.
Oh, they can do a zero or a one also. They can do it.
Yep.
So if you give me 9.5, I'm taking the under.
No, I'm giving you 9.
I want 9.5.
Yeah, you're stuck on 9, unfortunately.
Well, that's only a push then if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think I'd set the line if I had to put a hook on it at 8.5.
Oh.
8.5 is... Because you wouldn't go over 8.5.
Well, that's just like if you get 1-6, you know, like if you get one guy that has a bad outing.
But also if you get shut out one game.
One game, right? Remember when we did this for the Rockies series earlier in the year?
That was fun.
But they had one game where they blew up, and by game two, I think we set it at like 15 runs for a three-game series or 14. And they passed it with ease halfway through the second game, and then they barely scored again for the rest of the weekend.
Yep.
It ended up being really close. So, I don't know, man.
Giants averaging 4.31 a game.
Are they really still?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're right at the league average, 556 runs in 129 games.
They went to Oakland and had scored one run at the end of 18 innings. And then they hit two home runs and won that game 4-2. Then they just took on the White Sox, the worst team in the history of ever, and scored 11 in a three-game series. 11.
Yeah.
Against the White Sox. Yeah, give me the under. What do you want to put on it?
I don't know.
Set it at 9. I'll take the under.
I got it at 8.5. Mm-mm. And...
Well, I already bought it at 9. You can't, like, if you moved
you
the line.
You balked at 9.
No, I didn't.
Like Brandon Ayuk. I didn't sign it at 9.
But you said 9. I said, give me the under.
And then I moved it to 8.5.
No, but I'd already been to the window.
All right, you can have under 9.
What do you want to put on it?
I don't know. What's interesting to you?
Lots of things.
All right. Name your price. What do you want? You already owe me.
Yeah, but you owe me too.
I paid you off.
I know.
We're good. You're the only one in arrears.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Cook something for me.
All right. Done.
And I'll cook something for you.
You're good. You're good. I mean, I've never cooked and brought, but I'll cook something for you.
Yeah.
I'll make you a little something.
Cook and bring.
All right. It's a cook and bring.
All right.
Over under 9. And if it lands on the number, we got to cook and bring for Grandy.
Yeah.
Grandy wins on the push.
Well, no, I mean, whatever. If I'm going to cook, I'm going to bring it for everybody.
Well, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll bring it for everybody. And everybody means you, Grandy, and Lucas. Is Lucas here next week?
Yes.
No.
All right.
I thought he was gone.
The following week he's gone.
Whatever.
The
following week. So am I. Well, I'm gone next week, yeah.
Who takes off the first week of football like a weirdo?
That is weird.
A weirdo.
Totally.
A weirdo.
All right, it's a cook and bring.
You know who we're getting to fill in for you next week when you're gone?
No.
What Jim Harbaugh used to say?
Nobody has it. Who has it better than us? Nobody.
Nobody.
You going solo dolo?
I mean, Grandy's like. Yeah. Grandy will talk.
You'll allow it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah. It's the Duane Dibley Memorial.
I know it is.
Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Looking forward to it.
So check this out. I made the point earlier that the 49ers have sort of become America's clickbait team. And I sit here today as annoyed as everybody is with the Ayuk situation. I still sit here today and stand by this. The Niners are fine. I really do think everything's fine. Until it's not. I feel like the fan base feels like the Niners are 0-3. They're 0-0. And everything that you're worried about right now might not be a thing in 2.5 weeks. Ricky Pearsall might have a uniform Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk might have uniforms, and everybody will be healthy and look like that's totally possible. So there's no freak out yet. But what I do think has happened is the name value, the nature of where they've been over the last few years and have come so close. The fact that the fan base has traveled so hard and had such an imprint across the country, it has made content creators realize if you run into a room and scream Niners, it's kind of like running into a room and yelling fire in terms of the digital world.
Yeah.
So let's play with some of this. Chris Sims, supposedly Kyle Shanahan's good buddy. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, talking about the most talented rosters in the NFC. You buy this?
49ers would be my four, definitely. One, hey, listen, you know, I think the quarterback is a hair overrated. They are getting up there in age. The receivers, as far as, like, Kittle, his age, the offensive line, other than Trent Williams, doesn't really have another guy that you would put in the marquee list of offensive linemen out there. Defense, we know they're talented, but I think what I'm also taking into account is, like, yeah, you're not going to have Dre Greenlaw near 100% anytime soon. Hufanga is safe. Is still working his way back, right? So there's some of that along with, like you talked about, the aging of the football team that still really, really talented. And Shanahan will probably, if he finds out, text me the middle finger emoji or something like this. But
good.
Regardless,
good. I'll make sure he finds
they're,
out.
They're damn good. There's no doubt. But yeah, I don't think they're quite the Lions or the Packers. Not this year.
The Detroit Lions have a better roster than the 49ers?
Yeah, I don't see it.
Explain this to me.
Well, even if you want to say that they have better skill guys, I don't know if they do. I don't know if their quarterback is better. Their quarterback's played more football, and I like Jared Goff. He puts up better fantasy numbers or similar numbers. Yeah,
I'd
have to look at last year, but I think that, you know, the two teams, the offenses, even if you want to say that they're comparable, I don't think that they are. The Niners' defense is better than the Lions' defense. So if we're talking roster just from a fantasy football standpoint, then maybe, like, who has more guys get drafted higher in a fantasy league? That's a different conversation than whose roster is better. I think the Niners' roster is definitely better.
I agree with you on that, but it's becoming so popular.
Yeah.
And, again, we're fully aware of our role in this.
Yep.
I mean, they say it, we play it, here we go. But I think that has led to the bad feeling that a lot of you have about the Niners offseason. We can talk about it some more. 888-957-9570. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises on Willard and Dibbs.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent,
and I have a new podcast called The Varsity,
where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.